Welcome to the Mysterious Multiverse Podcast.
We discuss all things metaphysical, paranormal, and otherwise unexplainable.
We are a group of friends who are all on different stages of our spiritual journey and therefore have varying perspectives regarding the topics we will cover.
The opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions of other persons or groups we may be affiliated with, our sponsors, or producers.
Hey everyone, this is the Mysterious Multiverse, and my name is Carolyn. This is Jason.
Hi.
And that's Tristan.
Hello, hello.
And we're here to have our conversations about the mysteriousness of all the multiverses.
That is what we do.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about America's Shadow. But before we do that, let's talk about COVID right now. No one's saying COVID's a good thing, but in every tragedy, we have to find the silver lining in any situation. And I think this timeout that we've had between March and now, and it's going to be ongoing for a while, it really changed our lives. This pandemic really took things out of our normal, everyday, you know, what we're doing. And it not only presented a lot of challenges, it also presented a lot of opportunities, and that's kind of what I want to talk about today. For right now, just the opening between us and you listeners out there, what good things happened since the pandemic? I know a lot of you started your first gardens for the first time. A whole lot of things happening. So, you know, Tristan, what about you guys?
Yeah, well, we became foster parents, so that was a pretty big deal. So it was interesting. We got our first placement the very beginning of February, so we had her for, you know, just over a month, and then all of a sudden, you know, COVID hit. And so we, you know, had the enjoyment, though, of being able to be first-time parents and also welcome a baby into our lives also as foster parents this year. I also started a new garden. I hadn't really gardened before. It did take many months for my tomatoes to grow, but I was very excited. As soon as I saw one, it was just, I savored that tomato very much, but I started riding my bike. You know, I mean, I started exercising, doing some things like I hadn't done before in a safe way, obviously, you know, playing board games, doing that again. I realized that the screen was affecting my eyes and it was really kind of bringing me down. And so one thing I learned during COVID was, you know, it's like less screen time.
Yeah, I agree. A lot more time with the books, more mm-hmm. one-on-one time. We'd spent a lot more time outside this year than we have for a long time because we were all here.
And right.
We kind of had to find a new way of being all here together all the time. So we expanded more outdoors than we have been in the past. And I didn't manage to grow any tomatoes this year, but I grew a 6 foot tall lettuce because I didn't know when to.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Romaine lettuce that's like 9 feet tall right now. Has these little wiry things coming out of the top.
Yeah.
It turns out my gosh.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. That was
wow.
My Frankenstein experiment in the garden this year.
That's wild. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we just had the tomatoes pretty much, and everything else just kind of seemed to die after a bit. We did get some basil. That was delicious.
Basil's good.
Yeah. I got a leaf that grew from a mango pit. That was exciting.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah, so there's that.
It's warmer than around here, so that's exciting.
Totally.
You need to get a greenhouse now.
You know, we did get one of those little ones from Amazon. It's like the zipper ones, and that was pretty okay. Nice, you know.
Is that where you grew your tomato?
Yeah, that's where we started it, and then I ended up planting it in the ground, and so that helped a little bit. But yeah, I wanted to also like let the viewers know we do have some people watching right now. Feel free to leave comments. I am watching the comments over here, and you might just hear me refer to something you say, so feel free.
So I think some of the good things that came out of this year so far, and I do think that we've had good things, is that we've had to slow down and really take a look at what our priorities are and how we spend our time and how we spend our money, you know, and a lot of people had a lot of issues with having income coming in and had to really reassess a lot of things.
Yes, for sure. With all the unemployment rates, the furloughs and everything that was happening, people that were doing freelance, even in small businesses, so many small businesses have closed.
Yeah.
That's been a very sad part of it.
It has. The sad parts are kind of enormous. So
yeah,
probably.
That's why we're kind of focusing on on the latter aspects.
Right.
If you lost somebody or you had experiences with COVID, and that's terrible, and our hearts go out to you. But it's also important to find the good things. So you have fun. So, you know, you don't wake up every day afraid or, you know, worried. You kind of focus on some of the good things that are happening out there, too. And there were a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
Amazing videos of people coming together in amazing ways, you know, across distances, like singing from one balcony across whole cityscapes. That was pretty amazing.
For sure. Then they even had that quarantine karaoke group on Facebook, and that was fun. Right. But that brought a lot of people together, you know, and that was just like during the quarantine. I think it's still going on. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that it did bring a lot of people together. And that's what happens when you have this one thing that everybody is going through at the same time, and it allows you to connect in some way, because it's like we all have something similar happening to us at this exact moment.
We have this shared experience. The whole planet has a shared experience in both trauma and the realizing that we're all more alike than we are different, and the amazing creativity that has come out of all of this, all the new and different ways of doing the same things has been constantly inspirational, really.
Yeah, for people that, you know, we're stuck in these bad cycles or bad habits. Those cycles were, if not broken, at least interrupted to give people space to heal in between. And make different decisions. You know, was this working for me? Is this something I want to continue doing in the future? Or, you know, is what I'm doing what I want to continue in the future? You have that moment that you can take a breath and, you know, kind of analyze things from the outside for a little bit, instead of being inundated with the same things that you have been inundated probably the last 5-10 years, just a cycle that continuously always the same, just kind of repeating everything.
We've been forced to slow down. And when you do that, it forces you to be introspective and just really take a look at, like you're saying, like take a look at yourself, take a look at your life. And I mean, I definitely had that happen this year for sure. There was a lot of time just spent just really like, you know, looking at myself and where I'm at and, you know, also just growing and seeing the areas I still want to grow in. And so that was, you know, good. I started college. That was kind of crazy, you know? And so I went back to college and I'm doing that online and, you know, but I do realize that, when we were forced to kind of slow down and not go out and just do the go all the time, like I found myself enjoying that.
Yeah.
You know, I did.
It's been great.
Yeah, seriously.
A lot of people are, you know, really upset because they can't go on the vacation that they had planned, or they can't do all these things they had planned. We had tons of things planned and to not do them and to instead, you know, work on yourself, or just have that break from that constant cycle that we were in of just on the go all the time. It's been really nice.
Yes.
I keep calling 2020 the year of the hermit, and I'm starting to understand the hermit card better.
Embrace the hermitage.
Yeah.
Totally.
We've embraced our inner hermit.
Yeah.
Quite. It's a warm embrace. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I think it's been really nice personally just to have that slow down and just like, you know, like I was talking about the less like screen time for me. I'm not on Facebook at all like I used to be, which is interesting.
That's ironic too, because I find that I'm on Facebook maybe once every 2 days just to check it out. I post, unless it's on the tarot page, on my personal page, maybe once or twice a month now. And that's odd because we have more time to Facebook than ever. And we're doing it less.
Right.
We have all these other things that we're doing now. We have all these outside projects, our house projects, our remodeling things, new hobbies that people have taken up, and just spending more time with each other.
Oh, yeah.
We're kind of in a different situation than some people. Some people are unfortunately stuck at home more alone than others, but we have a whole house full of people here. So there's always something going on here, which is kind of the same as your house now. You're always going to have something going on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I had a laugh. Shayla's watching right now, and she said she bought a jacket with the hermit on it so people know where she stands if she has to leave. I need a jacket like that, Shayla. That's terrific.
The card of the hermit and then the 6-foot social distancing icon right underneath it.
Right, exactly.
For those who don't know, Tara.
I love it.
I mean, obviously we miss getting to hang out with all of our friends and stuff, but having a break like this is an amazingly rare opportunity.
Right.
You know,
it really is.
Had this not happened, we certainly wouldn't have done this willingly. We would have kept going in our normal go routine and enjoying all of it, but not understanding what we were missing out on by constantly being on the go.
Right. I mean, talk about knowing what to be grateful for. I mean, all the things we took for granted pre-COVID, really, these little things, even just going to the store or going out to eat, you know, like, you know, going to see friends, seeing your family, flying in a plane. I mean, like, all these things that were just like the simple stuff of our lives. And then all that, you know, was put on hold, and it just made you realize what to be grateful for. And I think in turn, you know, with even a lot of those restrictions and things taken away, we're now able to be grateful for even like the smallest things that we have now. You know, I'm really thankful when there is a great book I can open and read, you know. I'm thankful when I can do FaceTime with my parents and get to see their faces and just have that, you know, like I'm grateful for that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to be one of the bigger lessons that comes out of this whole year is the gratitude and appreciation, because we'll spend more time acknowledging the little things rather than just constantly, you know, that constant go of all the stuff, and you don't really get to take time to appreciate those things.
Right. I mean, you know what? It's easy to focus on the negative. It's easy to let it like just plow you down, you know, stack up on you, put the weight of the world on you. It's easy to fall down that trap. But you know what? It's like with people that maybe find themselves like that right now, I just say, you know what? Just take a piece of paper, take a pen, and just push yourself to just name 5 things that you're grateful for in your life. Because guess what? You have at least 5. You're going to be able to do that. Start there and then say it every single day when you wake up. You know, I am so grateful for these things, and then add to it. And then the more that you change your thinking, you know me, I'm the whole like thoughts become things person. But it's like,
I agree.
Right? But it's true, right? And so like that's what's going to start to surround you, because, you know, if we're adding all this negative to our life and we're thinking negative, then that's what's going to be our existence. That's what we're going to draw to us. That's going to be what we're mirroring out to the world. And it's just going to get worse. Right. So if you just start with those little notes of gratitude, it helps so tremendously. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Like it's first rules of physics, you know, not only it's like begets like, and positive, negative. So
right.
You gotta be mindful of those things. So not only writing things that you're grateful for, but I've also kept a journal from time to time of moments of beauty. Just moments that I thought were beautiful. So it's really kind of the same thing. I'm just sort of rephrasing it, because I think sometimes people have a hard time with the word gratitude, but you can kind of rephrase it until you get there.
You know? That's true. That is true. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And so what was the word that you felt? I'm sorry. I was just thinking, what was the word you had used then besides gratitude, do you think?
Besides gratitude, it was moments of beauty.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that.
I was looking for, you know, this beautiful sunrise I saw today, or this beautiful butterfly that flew right in front of me today, or I got puppy kisses, and puppy kisses were fantastic. And so it's still moments of gratitude and appreciation, but
right.
It's rephrased in moments of beauty.
I like that a lot, actually, because I do know people that when I do talk about gratitude or being positive, I feel like the word positive is like, it can actually really just trigger some people.
It does, because there can be toxic positivity where you pretend everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And okay, so putting that out there, I mean, that's kind of pretending when you're kind of faking it till you make it type of thing.
Right.
But
sure.
Not in an insincere way, in a way of attracting more. Now, if you're mm-hmm. positive just for the sake of ignoring what's really going on, that can take you in a different direction. I think that was kind of a cult of personality where Dale Carnegie was out there saying, win friends and influence people by
right.
doing them, doing exactly, pretending interest in whatever they like and all of that.
Right.
This big positive attitude that was really fake and you could see through. That's mm-hmm. not what we're talking about here. We're talking about
right.
you're in a bad situation and you're already in despair. Reach out for something that brings you joy. You know, recognize mm-hmm. something that makes you happy or makes your heart sing. You know, whatever,
right.
find your passion, okay? Just mm-hmm. just that kind of thing. That's what you're putting out there.
And that can even be as simple as literally having a fuzzy blanket on you.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. Just curling up with, hey, there you go, a fuzzy blanket. And that, because I think a lot of times of the senses, you know, and that goes even to mindfulness of like what you're touching and smelling and stuff like that. And that's also like a nice place just to start. And I always say start with a fuzzy blanket.
I'm down with that philosophy.
That sounds good.
Too many fuzzy blankets.
Right. We're 15 minutes into this, so we might as well get into our main topic.
I guess we better. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's do it.
So I want to read kind of an intro disclaimer, because this can get kind of political, this topic, when we talk about America's shadow. Just because we're talking about the last 4 years, there's obviously a certain person that is going to be involved in this. But we're not addressing that so much as... Let me just read what I've got. Okay. So if you've heard one of our earlier episodes, you'll remember that the shadow is part of our subconscious that contains our repressed memories of traumatic experiences, feelings of shame, feelings of being unacceptable, your prejudices, your base thoughts and emotions. Those are all hidden in your subconscious. Okay. Usually when we discuss the shadow, we're talking about an individual. We're talking about somebody going back into their past and finding out, you know, where these things that they're having trouble with now came from. And what we're talking about tonight is the shadow of our country, because a country can also have a shadow. Any kind of organization can have a shadow, to where you have all these good things that are happening, but you also have some of the things that you're keeping hidden, that you don't want to talk about, that you're keeping kind of repressed. So that's what kind of happened here the last 4 years. In America, we really got a good look at our shadow. And I came across a video by Deepak Chopra that he did in 2016, and it really addressed it well. So I'd like to read that next. Okay, so this is called America's Shadow, The Real Secret of Donald J. Trump. There's a powerful way to explain the rise of Donald Trump that most commentators have missed entirely or undervalued. The standard line describes Trump as a bizarre anomaly. Beginning as an improbable celebrity candidate, he has defied all the conventional rules of politics, which should have been fatal. Instead, Trump has swept all before him on the Republican side. Possessing a genius for grabbing the limelight, he continues to dominate the scene in ways no previous politician has in modern times. So the conventional view goes. But in reality, Trump isn't bizarre or anomalous. He stands for something universal, something right before our eyes. It's an aspect of the human psyche that we feel embarrassed and ashamed of, which makes it our collective secret. Going back a century in the field of depth psychology, the secret side of human nature acquired a special name, the shadow. The shadow compounds all the dark impulses, hatred, aggression, selfishness, jealousy, resentment, sexual transgression that are hidden out of sight. The name originated with Carl Jung, but its basic origin came from Freud's insight that our psyches are dualistic, sharply divided between the conscious and unconscious. The rise of civilization is a tribute to how well we obey our conscious mind and suppress our unconscious side. But what hides in the shadow will come out. When it does, societies that looked well-ordered and rational, fair and just, cultured and refined, suddenly erupt in horrible displays of everything they are not about. Violence, prejudice, chaos, and ungovernable irrationality. Now, I want to repeat, this was written in 2016, and Trump hadn't actually been the president yet. He hadn't actually been installed as president. So this is before he was elected, that Deepak Chopra is saying these things will happen if we are attracted to this archetype, okay?
Wow.
So in fact, the tragic irony is that the worst eruptions of the shadow occur in societies that on the surface have the least to worry about. This explains why all of Europe at the height of settled civilized behavior threw itself in an inferno of World War I. If Trump is the latest expression of the shadow, he isn't a bizarre anomaly, which would be true if normal rational values are your only standard of measure. Turn the coin over, making the unconscious your standard of measure, and he is absolutely typical. So that's interesting. So if you look at the side that most of us present to the world, which is our regular side, you flip that coin over and you see our shadow self, all of a sudden the archetype that Trump is representing makes sense. So when the shadow breaks out, what's wrong is right. Being transgressive feels like a relief because suddenly the collective psyche can gamble in forbidden fields. When Trump indulges in rampant bad behavior and at the same time says to his riotous audiences, "This is fun, isn't it?" he's expressing in public our ashamed impulse to stop obeying the rules. But the fun of World War I, which almost gleefully sent young men off to fight, quickly turned into horror and the shadow closed an insidious trap. Once released, it is very hard to force the shadow back into its underground bunker. And that kind of made me laugh when I read that, because trying to do the transition between Trump and Biden, it's just like that.
Oh,
getting
yeah.
the shadow out of its bunker. Okay.
Wow.
So
he totally
played the archetype all the way through to the end. And again, this was in 2016. The Republican Party has kept the shadow on a slow simmer for decades, ever since Nixon discovered how to make hay from Southern racism, law and order aggression against minorities, and us versus them attitudes to the Vietnam anti-war movement. In order to make themselves feel unashamed, the good people on the right found figureheads after Nixon who exuded respectability. The irony is that as with civilized societies that seem the least likely to allow the shadow to run free, the more benign a Reagan or Bush acted, the stronger the shadow became behind the facade. So the more they try to pretend nothing was going on, the more that shadow grew and it was slowly erupting until the point where we're at right now. Trump has stripped away the facade, intoxicated by the fun of letting his demons run and discovering to his surprise, much as Nixon did, that millions of people roared with approval. Yet by comparison, Nixon retained relative control over the forces he unleashed, while Trump may be riding a tiger. That part of the story has yet to play itself out. And a lot of it did play itself out.
Yes.
I love it with the tiger comment, since this year is the year of the Tiger
is
King,
it?
You know.
Oh,
really?
Tiger King. I thought it was.
Oh, my gosh. That is true.
If the shadow refuses to go back underground, which is always the case, I think we're watching that.
Yes.
What outcomes can we anticipate over the next 6 months? The present situation finds us trapped between denial and disaster. Denial is when you ignore the shadow. Disaster is when you totally surrender to it. Without being at either extreme right now, as many Americans feel the unsettling symptom of being out of control. Trump glorifies being out of control, and this outbreak, until this outbreak runs its course, which no one can predict, he will remain immune to all the normal constraints, which he was.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, in the meantime, he wrote, a few things come to mind. One, see Trumpism for what it is, a confrontation with the shadow. Two, instead of demonizing him, acknowledge that the shadow is in everyone and always has been. At the same time, realize that the shadow never wins in the end. Find every opening to reinforce the value of returning to right and reason in your own life. Don't fight the shadow with the shadow, which means not stooping to play by Trump's nihilistic rules. He'll always be willing to go lower than you are willing to go.
That's so true.
America has been fortunate in our ability to let off steam and recognize that we have demons. In the Great Depression, bank robbers became folk heroes, but nobody suggested electing Bonnie and Clyde president. The rational constraints that allow for human evolution have been successful for millennia as the higher brain became dominant over the lower brain. That dominance still holds good no matter how close we flirt with the primitive areas of the mind. Trump represents something authentic in human nature. And in troubled times, he's the bad boy who became a folk hero. No one can predict if his right or wrong stance will carry him to the White House. The contest with their shadow isn't over yet. Hmm. So again, the 2016, very on point.
Wow.
Kind of, you know, what we went through during.
Seriously. I mean, it sounds like something that would just be written now.
But I think one of the important things to understand is that it's not about Trump so much as when people voted for Trump, they voted for the archetype that represents them as the leader of the country. Okay.
Right.
So, and we all have a little bit of racism in us. We all have a bit of, you know, of egocentric behaviors in us, within us. We all have a little bit of selfishness within us. All those things are all present. And to the extent to which they resonate with us, or the extent that they're there, we resonate with heroes who mirror us because we want to be the good guy.
Right.
And our shadow resonates with that. So all of our shadow has kind of just bubbled up to the surface. And there's good and bad things about that. The bad things for a lot of people, we're seeing how mean other people could be. We're seeing how, you know, how left to their own devices and doing whatever they want, how that felt. It just felt like we're out of place. You know, this wasn't the country that we thought we were in. But we were the whole time. It was just hidden underground. It took someone to bring that out. So in a way, Trump has done us a great favor by bringing that shadow to light. And if you're just a person or you're a country or whatever, whenever you bring that shadow to light, you've already started the healing process.
Right.
So things are going to be way different from here on out.
And I agree. It
wouldn't have happened unless the last 4 years happened.
When things are brought from the darkness into the light, that's where it's exposed. And like you said, that's when you can deal with things.
Yeah. So just like your regular shadow work with just you, once you acknowledge something, once it's no longer a repressed memory, you can decide whether to forgive it and let it go. You can make it part of you again in a conscious way. Or you just leave it behind or keep it. But it's your choice at that point.
Figure out how to work on it.
Some of the things in your shadow can become an advantage. Some of the things you kept repressed and hidden, sometimes your personal power is hidden in those things that hurt you in the past and made you repress those. Once you bring those to light, you're bringing your personal power back within you. So that's power now you can use for your own life.
Right.
Instead of living like half a life because, you know, most of your life is unconscious. The more you bring to consciousness, the more you have to use for other better things.
Right. No, completely.
So the shadow is always going to be there because it's part of the duality of life, the yin and the yang. There's always light and dark, good and bad. And all things in moderation, the bad isn't necessarily always bad until it gets really, really bad.
Right.
The trick is in learning how to allow the dark side its place without it getting so bad. You know, you ignore it so long that it becomes this sort of monster that erupts at you someday.
Right.
Because you've been pretending to only be good. You have
right.
You have to walk the gray line. It can't be black and white.
I find that statement interesting. Yeah.
Yesterday, we kind of confronted our house's shadow
Yeah, you did.
We had a septic tank. I should let her tell this.
No,
she was.
I don't want to live it over.
She decided to paint the bathroom yesterday, and she's done a great job. And so she's in the middle of painting. All of a sudden, she hears gurgling in the toilet, and then in the shower, and then in the bathtub. And you know, our shadow leased through the drains.
The bathroom and was infiltrated gurgling at me.
Infiltrated the house. So that's what happens when you leave your shadow repressed and you ignore it and you don't take care of it. You'll bubble out in foul ways.
Literally, I mean, this is honestly a real thing, because I mean, it's not that we didn't know the septic tank was there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, just like you don't know that, you know that even if they're unexamined, you know your problems are there. You know trauma and things like that, and you don't want to deal with it. Whether you consciously deal with it or not, it's going to explode and come to the surface, and then you have to deal with it right now, right?
Yes, so exactly.
It's better to do that on your own. With the country, however, I mean, there's a lot of us working on it. It's not so much of an individual, you know, deciding what to do, but bringing that to the forefront. All of that, you know, bubbling up to the surface.
Yeah.
Like sewage. It forces us to deal with it. And it forces us to take care of it, because no one wants to live in a society like that, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean,
something good that happened also.
We've had a lot of good things happen this year from that. I mean, from things getting exposed and, you know, for us to actually see kind of like the ugly show itself. We've then realized, okay, so this is really how some people feel in this country. This is real. This is reality. And a lot of us were like, you know, we kind of felt like people felt like that too. So it's one of those things where, like you said, like, you know, you can hide it and stuff like that, but still, like, you know, I mean, just one topic, racism. I'm not going to get all into that, but just racism, you know, like, to me, it's like, you know, I could talk to a lot of people and just in certain things they say, you know, I can tell, you know, there's some racist comments and stuff like that. But then it's like when the shadow, America's shadow just erupted through Trump, it almost gave permission, it seemed like, to people for them to be like, yeah, well, I can be racist now. I can say what I want to say.
Right.
You know, it's how, like.
Yeah. So that's how you discover your shadow. Is most of our shadow is taken care of physically by us, by projecting it on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So by seeing America getting together and all resonating with this person, that means that all that was already there. They just needed someone to, you know, wave the green flag and say, it's okay now, I'm your leader.
Yes.
And the shadow responded.
Most definitely. We got a comment by Wendy Schindler. Hi, Wendy. She said, it's good to embrace both sides, light and dark, and make it a balanced relationship.
Absolutely. You have to do that. Because if you ignore the dark side, it's going to come out anyway, right? If you only play in the light, then you have no grounding. You don't even know who you're not helping anything.
Right.
It's kind of keeping, it's the whole Star Wars thing, keeping the light and the dark.
Yes.
You can't eliminate one without one. If you have light, a shadow is always going to exist. And it's the balance of that. You never want your shadow to become greater than your light side, but you never want to be without your shadow either.
Right.
So, yeah, finding that balance, is that Wendy? Finding that balance is very, very important.
Yes, it is, for sure. You know, not being scared of that, too. I know there's some people who there's such in the light that it's almost kind of like a feeling of, I don't want to touch the dark. That I don't want to even go near that, because what if that then takes me over or something like that? So what would you say to someone like that?
You have to find ways to let it out in a constructive way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe I'm on a diet, but I'm going to eat that bag of popcorn.
Yeah. Right. No, I know what you're talking about. I think to me, it's like, I mean, for people that, you know, are like very careful, I should say. They're very careful. And they're like, oh, you know, and a lot of things, when you even just mention shadow, it just seems like, ooh, that's bad, or that's gonna be like evil or something. You know what I'm saying? And but the thing is like, you know, like you said, where there's light, there's a shadow. There always is. I mean, just like think about that on a sunny day, you're walking. What are you looking at? Your shadow's there. You know, it's a part of you. And that's exactly what you all are saying. It's like the shadow is a part of us, and it's a part that's deep within us. And it's one of those things where it's time to have that relationship. Like when I did, you know, shadow work and found my own personal shadow, I mean, that was very transformational in my life, and it helped me become a stronger person and actually deal with some inner, you know, demons of sorts, you know, not evil demons, but just my own personal demons, you know, of just like that stuffing I had talked about before, where I just like stuffed all of my emotions in, and it was really causing internal trauma to myself. And when I finally started releasing that and just speaking more of my mind freely and stuff like that, talk about like busting open my throat chakra. Sometimes I even surprise myself. I'm like, wow, I'm really just speaking the truth here, because that wasn't me before, you know? And so it's interesting to find that. And to me, I feel like when you find a balanced relationship between the light and the dark, it really is, it's a beautiful thing. It is your yin and your yang, you know, it's meant to be.
Right. Yes. And you feel more powerful being able to do that, right?
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's the goal of it, is to own as much as yourself as possible, the good and the bad, and be authentic.
Wendy said, "You have to overcome the fear of yourself." I like that.
That's true.
Actually, if you think about that.
There's a huge amount of people that are always running away from their own selves.
Right.
And, you know, I think a lot of our alcoholism problems stem from that. People just trying to not deal with whatever it is that they're dealing with. I mean,
right.
There's a myriad of reasons why you bury yourself in something. And
right.
It's not even necessarily alcohol or drugs. It could be overwork, you know, just working mm-hmm. too much, being a workaholic. It can,
right.
Anything that you do to excess is because you're avoiding something else.
Right. Right, most definitely. You know, it's like sometimes, like, you know, we might have like thoughts that come in our head that we're like, oh, why did I think that? Well, maybe, you know, it's like you want to push some things like that aside really quickly. Like, I don't understand that, you know, but maybe it's not a bad idea to really look at that and be like, well, why did I ask that question? Just go there in that moment and say, well, why am I having those thoughts? What stemmed from that? Did I get triggered by something? Where's the root of this? Like, what emotions am I feeling? Just really play it all out, you know, and it's probably a good time to really just invite yourself to have a conversation about it.
Yeah, that's actually exactly the prescription we should all be doing for everything that
yep.
comes up like that. Like, where did that come from? Why am I thinking that? What, you know, really kind
yeah.
of delve into it so that you can bring your own shadow to light by
right.
literally looking at it.
Right.
Figuring out what it is, admitting it, you know,
yeah.
and some things, you know, they're not as bad as maybe you thought they were. You've
yeah.
just been ashamed of them because you were told to be ashamed of them. But when you really
right.
look at it, it's like, that really wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, why have I been dragging all these issues around
right.
for 10, 15, 20 years when this one person said this one thing to me that made me feel super bad and super insignificant and super inferior, and now I've taken all of that and shoved it into this big shadow bag that I'm dragging around all the time, and now I, you know, I can't pass a mirror without thinking terrible things about myself, or
right.
I can't say something, I can't sit at a formal dinner table because I feel insignificant, or there's
right.
all these things.
And if
right.
you think about it, most of those things happen when you're just like 4 or 5, you know, a young child, you know, maybe even 8, 9, 10. And as older adults, as we're grandparents now, and we see our 3 grandchildren, mm-hmm. and I can't imagine giving those kids a life sentence for something that they did. Mm. When they're at that age, when they know less than they're ever going to know for the rest of their lives.
Most definitely.
I mean, they don't have the experience to take that on. Yet you and I, Carolyn, we, Amy, even though she's not there right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody, we all gave ourselves these life sentences at a very young age. And then, like you said,
mm-hmm.
if you don't question those things when they come up, say you have a big overreaction to something as an adult, because of something that happened when you were just a little kid. If
right.
you don't examine that, you're never going to pull that out, and that's always going to be a trigger for you. That's always going to be a problem for you. But once you I give the same example I think I gave last time, just because it's a good example. I wouldn't get in a public swimming pool. And while there are some good reasons for not getting a public swimming pool, this was toxic. This was silly. It was like every time I got near the smell of chlorine or anything, I just froze up. I couldn't do it. And when I was very young, I was only like 4 or 5 years old. My parents had got a divorce. And one of the things my dad would do with us is when he picked my sister and I up, he would take us swimming. Mm. And so shortly after that, we didn't see him again for a very long time. So I took that abandonment issue and I repressed it. I just pretended I didn't care about that anymore. But the swimming pool issue came up later in my adult life.
Wow.
And I had to finally examine that. And
when I'm trying to take our kids to the swimming pool and all of a sudden he's freaking out. I'm like, why am I dealing with you too?
About. Full disclosure, she's the one that brought it to my attention, not me.
I just
thought it was just that's just a thing. That's, I guess I don't like swimming pools for some reason.
Right.
Never really questioned it. But because she was annoyed by it, she didn't question it. And finally, that memory bubbled up to the surface, just like the sewage did in our shower.
Right,
and I
yeah.
underneath.
Carolyn's like, can we please stop remembering this?
He wasn't even here. He's traumatized.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh.
A good time to be at work.
Yes, it sounds like it. It is a good...
It's all fixed now. We dealt with our house's shadow. Now
right.
America's shadow.
Yeah, exactly. And what a big shadow that is, you know. And I thought it was interesting when you talked even about like World War One, you know, and just going into that, because I mean, it's like we've seen their shadows.
Yes. Oh, so one of the biggest examples would be Hitler and
yep.
Germany.
Yeah.
Huge. That was a shadow. That was the same kind of thing. Those people. Time made him 38th man of the year. It was around that year. He was a man of the year. Our country respected him. The
right.
Germans respected him. You know, they just, whatever he did, they resonated with that. And he became the archetype for those feelings. And that atrocity occurred.
So part of the issue is that he actually did a lot of great things that were sandwiched in with all the terrible, terrible things that he did too. Like,
right.
creating a highway system and the Volkswagen car and making transportation available to the masses. So
right.
because he actually did some good things, people only saw that and let all the bad things just kind of behind it and just gave him carte blanche to do these things.
Yep. It's... You know, and then if you do turn that into Trump, so you have a lot of people who have said, oh, well, Trump's done this and Trump's done that and stuff like that. And there's a lot of people that it's interesting. I think the thing that's been the most interesting to me is people who defend Trump. And to me, like my only statement for that is I don't defend anyone that I do not know personally.
Right. You're right. That's a good way to say that. Because we don't know him personally. Mm. All anyone knows about him is what they see of themselves in him. And that's what
right.
they're defending when they defend anyone so vehemently.
Yes.
Whether doesn't matter who it is, but it's because you're resonating with them.
Right.
It says more about you as a person and what you want to see in the world than it does about actually Trump. Trump was just a person, just like you and me, just
right.
like everybody. We made him what he was. Our country made him what he was. Our country allowed that to happen with consent.
Right.
And it almost happened again.
Right? Yeah. And that's the thing.
It's always very close to the light. It's always a fine balance.
Yeah. I mean, really talk about that. That is what's so interesting is like, I feel like with this election, just seeing how the country is just almost so equally divided, you know,
right.
it's very, very interesting. And again, what is it divided? It is divided, you know, light and dark. I mean, you know, So Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting to see how the voting process took place, and it literally did feel like people were choosing a higher vibration way of being.
Right.
I mean, enough people flipped states, flipped counties.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Just that in and of itself has been pretty fascinating, but
yes.
People choosing to come together and work together rather than choose the route of me, myself, and mine. They're choosing us and our.
Right. And we had more of a voter turnout than, I mean, almost probably we've ever had.
Yeah, that's the largest we've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, that says a lot right there. And, you know, to me, that's actually a pretty beautiful thing when you realize there's a lot of people that want their voice to count.
In
something like this, they're like, you know what, yeah, I'm gonna go vote because, you know, it's important to be there, you know. And I thought that was a really great thing.
Yeah, vote. I mean, that people try to tell you that your vote doesn't count, but then there's all these instances of people trying to squash people's ability to vote. So yeah. Your vote does count, or they wouldn't care to try and squash it.
Yeah. Exactly.
College. I mean, that represents your vote. If you didn't vote, you could have been the choice between your state turning red or blue. So right. Maybe you don't see your vote on the very last that, yeah, my vote was the one that did, you know, you won't see that.
Right.
But you have to be okay with that and know that your part of the process is getting out there and putting in your vote.
Right.
So that your voice is heard. You've right. put your whatever on the scale, and it's being weighed.
You've put your energy into the flow by being an active participant.
Well, that too.
Whichever right. way your vibration is going,
yep.
you put your vibration out there.
Most definitely. Oh, yeah, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, to me, for people that didn't think that the vote counts, it's like look at the different states right now that it is between these votes. So the vote matters quite a bit.
Why would you count for, you know, three recounts in one state if your vote didn't count?
Right? Yeah, seriously. I
obviously
mean, it's
counts a lot to somebody.
Sure does. It sure does. But yeah, you know, one thing I would like to just bring up just for us to talk about just for a little bit is, I mean, one thing I've heard a lot about is basically how. The potential of a possible even like civil war within our own country again, you know, the division and stuff like that. Like, what are your thoughts?
I don't feel like we're at that place. I heard something else by Deepak Chopra earlier today. And how did he say that? It was just so brilliant. The time before now was a time of survival of the fittest. Right now, we're entering a state of survival of the wisest.
Mm.
And so the Civil War and other wars like that, that's survival of the fittest. You're
right.
Working with your base, banal personality, and it's ego-driven, okay?
Right.
It's the state of me, myself, and I, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to fight for what's mine. I'll fight for my country. You know, everybody else doesn't count, or even more singular, myself or just my home. And I think the country has spoken and saying they want, they're now ready to be survival of the wisest.
Yes.
It's ours. It's you and me. It's I want to survive, but I want to see you do well too.
Yes.
And it's that cooperation that I think we're going towards. I think we're going away from fighting about everything. You notice after the election, everybody was so concerned on both sides that the other side was going to start this insurrection. Nothing happened.
Right.
And part of it was because Trump didn't concede. And so there wasn't that finality to it. But that wasn't it. If it could have been so much worse.
I even saw
those
people,
things could have happened.
I even saw people like crossing, almost like literally walking across the street and shaking the hands of people from the opposite party.
Oh,
like,
wow.
People want to come back together and come to a middle place. There's always going to be people who are extreme on both sides, but really the middle and or not black, not white, but the gray line is where we really want to be anyway.
I feel like, you know, one of the most important things, you know, with seeing America's shadow is that once you see the shadow, that's when the healing takes place, you know? And so that is the point where we're at right now. It's like America's ready to heal.
Yeah. We don't,
Been having the conversations.
Right.
It has forced the conversations with so many people in private. People are having conversations on social platforms, terrible place to have conversations, but at least it's talking even across the globe to one another.
Right.
And, you know, general media is having these conversations. It's in our governments are having these conversations. So it did force the hand of change, and it will be long lasting.
Yeah, most definitely.
And hopefully it's on to the lighter side of the gray spectrum and not the darker side of the gray scale.
Right.
That we move towards.
And I like that you brought up the whole Civil War thing, because that's something that, you know, a lot of people were really afraid was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad to see there wasn't even there was no chatter. There was nothing to.
Well, I don't think we're necessarily in the circles of people who are having these conversations.
Right. There was some chatter.
What we know now is that basically America can't live without toilet paper. So there's no way we can live without Civil War.
Twice.
And back to the whole Mad Max, you know, everybody for themselves running around with their guns and their weapons, because we need toilet paper.
Yes, okay? Exactly.
That's ridiculous. The first shutdown, I understand the run on toilet paper, because I always say, if I'm going to escape and I'm going to just leave, you know, live out in the woods and be a hermit, all I need is toilet paper. Everything else I can figure out, but I can't, you know, I need toilet
paper. I love it. I need toilet paper.
So that must be in the lizard brain of every American, because as soon as that shutdown hit, no toilet paper anywhere. They all had it at home. So I thought maybe we learned our lesson that there's so much toilet paper all over the world, it's never going to be a problem. And finally, people understood that. But, you know, a couple weeks ago, another shutdown, and the first thing to go, this was a week ago now, all the toilet paper was gone from Costco again.
All the toilet paper.
I thought, oh, this is just an anomaly. They just happen to be out of toilet paper at this time. It's just kind of weird. I went to two other stores. Their whole paper aisles were wiped out.
Oh, my gosh. In Fred Meyer, they had napkins. They put napkins in the aisle where toilet paper was. I was like, that's humorous. And they did have what we did actually buy, because we just didn't know if we were low or not. We're like, maybe we're low, because usually we get ours from a Costco. And so they had like where it was like four rolls. And, you know, Amy and I are looking at it, and it's like $7.99 for four rolls. And we're just like,
price gouging.
We're like, this is a little bit nuts, Fred Meyer. And so we ended up buying it just in case, you know. But Amy and I both talked about it. And it's like, you know, if we run out of toilet paper, it's fine. We've got a lot of baby wipes. So, yeah, don't flush those. But, I mean, those are actually kind of better than toilet paper if you really think about it.
Well, sure they are. But then if you're not flushing them, where are you putting them? Right?
Yeah.
That's my problem. I'll test out the bidet when it comes to our country. You know, well, it's already here, but it hasn't been embraced yet. But now they have computers and they have dryers and things like that, so I'm kind of more on board than I was before.
Yeah.
Japanese experience sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll never be installed one in the woods, so I have to be friendly with toilet paper.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you can always get yourself a diaper genie.
Going back to the Civil War comment, all of our history is part of our shadow from the very beginning of our country.
Well, our country.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. It started when we came into America. We're about to celebrate this holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go there.
well, we were. But so we move here. We immediately kill the inhabitants of who was already here so we could take over. We weren't very friendly with them at all. Then we bought the black people from Africa and made them slaves here.
Right.
Think about the shadow that causes when you take families from families, when you take children from mothers, when you take husbands from wives. and force them into slave labor. That creates a huge shadow. The genocide of the Native Americans, what we did with black people, we created a huge, huge shadow. What we did with every minority that came into this country, we made them build our infrastructure, treated them horribly, and we were just immigrants not far from that when all this happened.
Right.
We're still in the same in the same boat, so to speak.
But yes.
So the shadow that we've created that's now bubbling to the surface like raw sewage has been created.
No, that's true. Jason wants to keep going back there. I just love Carolyn's face right now. That is perfect.
But it's been brewing for 300 years, and now it's come to the surface. How much of it can we deal with it, or can we deal with right now?
Right.
How much, is this? But like we said, once it's in the light, once it's exposed, once we're aware that it's there, the healing, without us doing anything, the healing has already begun.
Most definitely.
Because we've recognized it. It's on our radar now.
Right.
And we're finally talking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the shadow wasn't a conversation a couple of years ago. This is, we're hitting a level of consciousness that we weren't at before. We're working through the veil into something brand new. And it's exciting. But a lot of horrible things are going to happen in the meantime because things have to crumble down before we can rebuild.
It's the tower.
Right. We can't build upon a faulty foundation, and America has a faulty foundation. And there's people out there saying, other countries have bad foundations too. Other country has bad history too. That's fine. That's true.
Right.
We're talking about ours. We're not talking about that. You can't compare atrocity against atrocity. It's not like who's the worst. It's like we recognize if we're going to be a world power, then we have to recognize our dark side. We have to acknowledge it. We have to start healing from it, not comparing ourselves to other countries or anything else. We need to work on what we have here.
Right.
The other thing is, I think that with COVID and the forced shutdown, slowdown, hermitage of the whole world, everybody is probably dealing with basically the same type of thing.
Right.
And some countries are going to be able to deal with their own country's shadow more than others.
Mm-hmm.
And others are going to, squelch that shadow down even further, because even that is balanced. As some countries rise and become better, other countries deeper into the darkness, because that too balanced even around the globe.
Most definitely.
Unfortunately, we don't all get to be in the light, the lightest of the light, all at the same time.
Right.
As we come up, others are gonna sink down. But hopefully, overall, everybody comes up more than not.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'm ready for that healing phase for sure. I think all of us are.
I feel like it's beginning.
Me too. I do too.
It's not over, but
We got some good comments coming. There's quite a bit here. Some funny ones too. The toilet paper one was pretty fun. So we got. Shayla said there are anthropological studies being done on the run on toilet paper. If that's actually true, which it probably is, I wouldn't doubt. I can see the studies being done. Like, why are all these cultures, what's going on with this culture? Of, these people going crazy about toilet paper. It's like.
Right. And, that's where the shadow is projected again. So we find the anomaly, which is a run on toilet paper.
Yeah.
Now we have to find what happened to us at a very young stage in our country.
Outhouses.
Exactly.
Outhouses.
Yes.
Corn cobs.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
I remember when they had to use corn cobs and leaves. They're not getting their toilet paper again. They're I could understand that more than anybody. That's my base desire, is to have enough toilet paper.
Oh yeah.
For life.
Oh my God. To me it's interesting because when I was young, it is like you said, the anomaly. I do feel like it's pretty interesting because it used to be like the whole bread and milk. you know, water. You know, people would go crazy. All of a sudden there'd be no bread on any of the shelves. Now there's plenty of bread. I mean, people don't care about bread now. They just want to be able to wipe their butt.
Remember a couple years ago with the big snowstorm, all the kale was gone. All the kale was gone from the grocery stores.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, why was there a run on kale?
Well, kale could be used as a substitute for toilet paper.
Yeah. Have you eaten kale?
Yes.
That would not make good toilet paper. That is rough.
Okay, that's true.
I had read some time back, because I assumed, you know, oh, if America's having this toilet paper issue, everybody must be having a toilet paper issue. And that's not true. Other countries had their own runs, but they were on different things. And the only thing I can remember was that Mexico, because toilet paper down there too. No, for them it was beer. They cleaned out all the beer and all the stores everywhere for their version of the lockdown.
If I had to guess, that would have been ours too, but it wasn't.
Yeah, you'd think. I don't even know. I mean, I'm thinking, I feel like for me, I got water and canned food. You know, I was just thinking ahead.
And got 4 bags of Doritos. That was going to be our lockdown.
They're thinking
4 bags
too.
Of Doritos.
I love that. It's like, I want some Doritos. This will make me happy. This will be a good thing.
I'm stocked up for this lockdown.
Oh gosh. I will say I am one of those people where it's like I you know, it's like I'm not a what do they call it? Prepper. I'm not a prepper. But for me it's but for me it's like I'm always precautious. And so I go ahead and like stock up on certain things, you know, and nothing crazy, but it's like, I always
stuff too, but we're not, we don't have like an entire garage full of things. All the canned foods and all the sugar and the beans and the rice and all the toilet paper is not like jam packed into our garage for 6 months or a year of survival.
I've got plenty of things in my garage, but it's not all that.
There's a lot of stuff in the garage. I'm not saying there's not stuff in our garage.
It's just not useful stuff.
Right, exactly.
Once it's not useful in the house, it goes in the garage.
No, totally. I feel like, you know, like the whole like 2 to 3 weeks, if you got something for that, like you're always just good to go.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, for me, like I kind of have enough for that and stuff. And just, you know, it's like, I don't feel as worried about that now, but I did. You know, it was one of those things where.
Well, you don't know how people are going to react, and then people react in the worst imaginable way. So, it's kind of panic driven for everybody. And then it's like, you know, then for several weeks, there were a lot of people who really didn't have supplies until people calmed down and the supply chain was able to catch up.
Yeah.
However, one of the things I've seen is one of the last packs of toilet paper that Jason brought home, they're cutting it short now. It's like an entire inch narrower, so it just slides back and forth on the on a little spinny thing, you know?
Oh my gosh, that's weird. They've cut it shorter?
Yeah, it's narrow now.
That's
weird.
It's a smart move. I mean, they save paper. We don't
They can make more rolls.
Like
every fifth roll, they could make like a whole nother roll kind of thing.
That's true. That is true, actually.
It wasn't a bad idea.
No, it wasn't.
It just doesn't fit with our...
Now I'm just adding the toilet paper back.
It gives you something to do now.
Yeah, it's like a little cat. Just bat it back and forth, you know?
Yeah.
It needs a magazine now.
Yeah. You know Dave Garcia?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah. All right.
He's my bro.
Yeah. So he posted, I think, a picture when this pandemic first started of what to do if you run out of toilet paper. And he took a paper towel roll and he started in threes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that's not a bad idea.
That's thinking.
Yeah.
That is thinking.
Going to cost us a little fortune in having our septic tank pumped, but yes.
Right. If you have a septic tank, don't do that.
Don't flush the
toilet. No. So we got Victoria Taylor Johnson. She said install a bidet. That's totally true. She said install a bidet, but make sure the water pressure is not set on high. Ouch.
Oh.
Okay.
I kind of have to laugh at that one, Victoria.
Yep. That's part of the learning curve, I bet.
We'll take that into consideration for any future.
Yes. Thank you for that tip, because that could have been a bidet bad day.
Okay. Somebody had a bad bidet day.
Bad bidet day. That's good. Wendy said that as far as supplies, it's always important for her to get extra insulin pump supplies, and that makes sense too. Yeah, for sure.
Really stressful.
Most definitely.
The hospitals, we're still out of some things. We're still out of some PPE.
Or it's very short supply.
Medications are out because of this pandemic. There's a lot of things. So yeah, if you have a medical issue, that's very important to stock up on all those things.
Most definitely.
Those can disappear.
Oh yeah. You know, I used to be able to get like a 90-day supply of medication, and I changed from Kaiser to United, and now it's only 30 days. So that's a little bit disheartening, because I liked having the 90 days. I was like, oh, I'm good to go for a long time. Now it's kind of like, they don't allow the 90 days. I don't know why.
Right.
You know. Oh, goodness. But yeah. But that's a smart thing to do for sure. So, but yeah. Since we've got some people watching, would you guys be cool if we like maybe open it up for like any questions or anything right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Let's do that.
All right, everybody. If you have any questions for us, please go ahead and leave some comments, and I'll let everybody know. So yeah, yeah. I think this was a really good topic, and yeah. So this was a topic that actually they brought to the table, and I have to admit it was kind of funny, because at first I was like, when they said America's Shadow, I was like, are we talking about shadow government? They're like, no, that's a whole nother topic. I was like, oh, okay. Look, leave it
that's
to me to be
talk.
Like shadow government.
That's within our realm to talk about, though.
Yeah. Lord.
No, but this is a really bigger than life example of the shadow on a big scale.
Oh, yeah.
That we've never got to see in our lifetimes.
Right.
Just played out so well, so exactly.
So concise.
Yeah, exactly as expected. If you knew that we were working with America's Shadow in the first place. If you didn't know, it looked chaotic. It looked like we were heading in a horrible, horrible direction, and there was no way out. But if you knew about the shadow, and you kind of made that correlation, then you at least had some hope that once all of this came up, the healing would start.
Right.
And people would elevate themselves and deal with it in a better way. And if you're just looking at the comments on social media, you're not going to see that there. If you're just looking at Facebook or TikTok or whatever, you're not going to get the real picture of what America really is feeling. It's kind of you're kind of getting a caricaturized version of us. Mm-hmm. But if you really, really take the time to look at things, you can see how many people are changing, how many people are evolving, how many people are growing. Just the language that we're using en masse right now to each other. Mm-hmm. About energy and vibrations and raising that vibration, and all of that is ingrained in our new vernacular now.
Right.
And that's a really encouraging sign, I think. So there's a lot of things to look forward to besides dealing with all the chaos.
I agree.
I mean, even corporations are changing the way that they're wording things, and they're altering their focus on being more inclusionary. Basically, it's all choosing higher vibration way of being.
Right.
So it is. It's bubbling up here and bubbling up there, and you can see it sort of taking effect all over the place.
Right.
No, it's not, we all talked about it. We all came to a decision. This is the answer.
Right.
It's going to happen in hundreds and hundreds of thousands of different tiny little ways. And then in 5 or 10 years, we'll see sort of the flow of how everything changed and how it all panned out.
Most definitely. You know, one thing I think that's interesting is, like, we talked before about on the personal level, the shadow, right? And now we've gone to a pretty great scale talking about the country. But now it's made me think about the things in between. Like, you can actually see the shadow of maybe a relationship, you know, of two people, and actually see, like, what, you know, that's pretty amazing, actually, when you can put that in perspective.
So when you think about, like, a relationship shadow, it could be something that one of you bought into the relationship, or something that happened earlier in the relationship that becomes toxic down the road.
Right.
Or things that you drag along from prior relationships that you allow to affect your current relationship is also part of your shadow.
Yeah.
And part of your relationship shadow, because you're dragging 5 other relationship shadows, issues into this one.
Right.
And you're trying to make this partner pay or make up for all the things that somebody else did.
Right. It also can show you, like, the people that you're drawn to. A lot of times when you're drawn to certain types of people, that maybe aren't the best people for you, you know, like, it's interesting because, you know, like you said about people that voted for Trump, well, people might, it can almost go in the same instance with the relationships, because there's parts of them within them too sometimes. And that's not always the case, obviously. I know there's a lot of different root reasons for finding bad relationships, and that gets into a whole big psychological conversation, but for the purpose of this.
Yeah, a lot of it is the shadow, though. Your breath. What's broken inside of you projects on somebody else, and you're attracted to them because you have that connection.
Yep. Right.
And so there's two people that have dark shadows come together, and that can be very toxic if you don't look at that.
No, Shayla, definitely.
Question.
Yeah, I saw that. I was about to get to the questions here. Do you want to read that one?
Yeah, I'll read hers. How does the collective heal the collective shadow? What does individual participation and healing look like? And is it the same for everyone? So the first one, how does the collective heal the collective shadow? Like I said before, once the shadow makes itself known, the healing already begins without you doing anything. But how can we, you know, how can we as a collective help that? How can we enhance that healing? And that's by personally recognizing the shadow that's out there, recognizing that part of the shadow within us, because even if you don't have that much of the shadow that's overpowering for you and you resonated with all of this, it's still there and it still needs to be healed. So you heal your own shadow, and that raises the vibration of everyone. If everybody dealt with their own shadows, the world would heal. And it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Like I said, it's not that we all got together and decided on the exact course of events and tomorrow we're going to do things differently.
Right.
We're seeing things on a grand scale right now. Yeah. So that's different.
There's a huge trajectory to how this will play out. But
for her second question, what does the individual participation in healing look like? And well, that is kind of answered by that, by raising your own vibration, by dealing with your own shadow.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with your own shadow? You recognize it. Once you recognize it, the healing does begin. It's on your radar and you're attracting healing.
Because.
And no, it's not the same for everyone, because everyone has different trauma and different levels of trauma.
And because of the butterfly effect, and because thoughts are things like you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You work on your own shadow and you heal your own self. Now you're going to go out and the next person you talk to, you might be smiling while you're talking on the phone. And that's going to change how the person on the other end of the phone is receiving the information. And that's going to change their vibration. And then the butterfly effect is going to pass forward, you know. Random acts of kindness. And random acts of kindness can be as simple as just telling somebody you're passing on the street that their outfit looked fantastic today.
Right.
And that might seem super cheesy, but doesn't that feel good when somebody says that to you?
Oh yeah, for sure.
It brings up your own energy, and pretty soon you're passing on smiles to other people. And so fixing your own self is the only thing you have control over.
That's right.
You don't have control over fixing the whole globe. We don't have control over fixing the whole country. We don't have control over fixing the people who live next door. You only have control of yourself. And what you do with yourself affects everybody else because we are interconnected with everybody.
Right. One thing I'll say is that one thing you can do is, for instance, if you practice Reiki, send Reiki to the world. If you do energy healing, send that energy out. If you work with crystals, you can make a crystal grid, you know, and do different things like that. So that could be part of assisting with the healing.
Yes.
Too.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Those are great ways to do it.
Yep.
Random acts of kindness.
Yeah.
Sending Reiki. Mm-hmm. Those are all great things. Just sitting and doing some meditation about sending love and healing to sending love and healing into the collective, sending love and healing to the country, you know.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Every country literally has a birth date and it is almost its own entity.
Right.
Do we have any other questions?
Let's see here. I know there's some other comments I think I'll just go ahead and read. So Wendy said, but the sickness is ingrained so deeply in certain people and demographics, it's almost impossible to get them to unclench enough to begin to become enlightened.
That's true.
That is true.
And enlightenment comes at a different time for everybody. You have to be prepared for it. It might not happen in your teens. It might not happen in your young adulthood. It might not happen till you're 60 or 70, where things align and you learn what you need to learn to get to that point finally. Because we're all here to learn lessons and get past things. And for some of us, that time isn't now. That time is later. And we have to be patient with those people. We have to understand that because once we're like them too. Or we're like them already in a certain degree, just on a different level. But not necessarily, you know, each person's life mission has a different, you know, they're here for something different. They're here to learn something different. We're not all on the same schedule. And just because you've achieved this, whatever you've achieved at this point, doesn't mean that's any greater than this person that's at a lower level, haven't achieved their traumatic past, you know, been through what they need to go through, so that they can achieve or learn the lessons they need to. Maybe they're not going to be enlightened in this lifetime. And we have to accept that that's going to be part of it. The shadow is not going to be completely white, and we don't want it to.
Right.
In order for it to be healthy, the light side has to triumph eventually. But the dark side...
The triumph doesn't mean complete overtake.
No.
Right.
You've got to remember it's the yin and the yang.
Other area. And when I say white and black, dark and light, I don't mean good and bad, necessarily.
Right.
There's things that we repress and in our subconscious, and there's things we embrace and that raise our vibration. And you really can't judge it in good or bad like that.
Right. No, totally. Shayla had actually another question, and she said, I think the significant difference is that people are calling for action behind words. Changing vernacular can just be virtue signaling as opposed to actual change. So then how do we measure that?
It's going to pan out in time.
You don't measure it. Right. I mean, all that stuff is true on a physical level, but change happens slowly.
Some of that's fake it till you make it, you know? I mean, you do have to change the way that you talk about things once you see the shadow and you've picked out that, okay, I'm going to work on this. And yeah, you know, if you change the way that you talk about it, maybe it doesn't, this virtue signaling, you know, maybe that changes only the way that you talk about it, but what it also changes is the way other people hear it. We can't keep assuming that everything's going to be fixed overnight, everything's going to be fixed next year, or that even anything's going to be fixed in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is sowing the seeds for things that might happen after we're long gone and into the second and third and fourth generation after us.
Right.
We're changing the wave for the greater whole in the future. This is we're not going to walk out the door and live in a different world, but changing the way that you see it, changing the way that you talk about it. Mm-hmm. And you can't just say that, oh, you know, I'm a superior being now because I don't say this word now. Now I say this word.
Right.
Well, what it does is it puts out a different vibration. It puts out a different energy for people, other people. It's the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
And yes, hopefully, you know, as you change your vernacular about things, you believe in it enough that you're putting the right energy into it when you change your terminology, your intention is different when you say something.
Words have energy.
Well, they do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Words
actually have energy. Everything that you say is a vibration.
Oh, yeah. I feel like a big part of this, too, because I know she had mentioned, like, action, not just words, but action behind them. I feel like that is something that is being done and probably will continue to be done. And I feel like now it's kind of like what I said when I faced my own shadows, saw the things I needed to do. One of them was actually bursting out my throat chakra and saying things. Now that we've seen the shadow, we see the things that's going on that might give us more of the ability to take action and to speak up for things maybe that are wrong, things that maybe we would keep quiet about before. Maybe this is the time for us to speak out more about them and to voice that, because I feel like the more that we can keep exposing those parts, the more, you know, that's going to be the balance. Because if you just let the darkness be dark and you stay there and the light's over there, like, you know, kind of timid and not wanting to, like, hurt anyone's feelings or say anything or cause a problem or have a confrontation, that's not a balance. So for you actually to, you know, to speak to that, that's where you can actually get the correct balance in that.
Right. And not everybody's there. But if you feel compelled to do that, you should absolutely do that.
Right.
Because you're
right.
being called upon.
You're the person who's going to, you are the person in the moment who's going to deal with it.
Right.
Not everybody's in the place where they can be the person to deal with it.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody's got some weird little piece of the puzzle that they're dealing with. And, you know, the person next to you just may not have the ability to deal with this situation in this moment. But if you're aware of it now, then you do have some responsibility to say something or
right.
do something or be part of the change in some way.
Right. No, definitely. Cool. Well, I think that is it with our questions, actually.
All right.
Yeah. So
this is a fun topic. Mm-hmm. For me, especially, just because I've been in shadow work for a while, and just to see this play out on the big stage in front of us, as soon as I finally made the correlation, because I was in it with, you know, everybody else, it was scary, and without meaning, it was kind of chaotic.
Right.
But to see it in this framework and to recognize it for what it is, that was kind of amazing.
To me, I'm glad you proposed this topic, because I did not think of it in that way until you said it. You know, even like I had to ask you, like,
I ran across my Deepak Chopra.
Really
bought it home.
For sure. Always wise words there. Always wise words there, for sure. But yeah, it's always something. I mean, this is a big picture, and it's something that is, for me personally, because I, you know, if we're doing like our kind of like follow-ups right now, like the statements, right? I would say that for me, what has been interesting was to see this beyond myself. To see shadow work done from a personal level to a country-wide level, and then also to think of it as the things in between as well, like relationships, etc. You know, I think that's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Absolutely. Carolyn? We're kind of summing it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm very much about the hermetic principles. So for me, balance is a thing that is on my mind a lot. I feel like I live in balance. And so watching this, watching everybody and all these things kind of go crazy around us has been stressful. But he's right. When you have when you can step back and step out of it for a moment and look at it from the bigger picture point of view, where it is an energy balance, be it shadow work or light work or whatever it is, you can see the bigger ebb and flow happening not only here but around the globe and all through history, really, as these things undulate back and forth.
Right.
So I think there's one other factor that's happening here, and part of it is the what is it called, the timeline change, the grand procession, I believe it's called. I think it's either a 12 or 25,000 year cycle, but we're moving out of the age of Pisces and into the age of Aquarius, and
right.
So what that's doing is bringing the energy of the divine feminine more into play in just the energy on the planet as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean, people have been talking about this for a long time, but we're really starting to finally see the effects of it really starting to take hold as one way of living, one way of being on this planet is starting to transition. And when I say the rise of the divine feminine, I'm not just literally talking about women coming more into power, because the divine feminine and the divine masculine, masculine are in everybody, because that's also part of our individual balance. We all right. have male and female energies contained in all of us. And
right.
so historically, the feminine part has been sort of subdued, and the male part was kind of, I don't want to say it's like the shadow, but it is the ebb and flow of the energies, sure. one side
yeah,
to the other.
For sure.
And so this is a tipping of the scales of the balance of the male and female energies. So my point is that as that is changing, as the divine feminine is sort of coming up in the world, that's also part of the reason this shadow has come up too, because all those things do have to come up and be dealt with in order for this transition, this greater transition on the planet to take effect.
Right.
Because the divine feminine is coming in, I think that we're going to see in the future a change in the way that people think about things, which is why I think how we're going to deal with this shadow is going to be a little different, because historically the masculine way of thinking is A to B and very linear, whereas the female way of thinking is sort of this way and that way, and this point connects to this point. We're going to connect all these different points together, and we've got this huge interlacing of thoughts and ideas and energies going in all different directions. So that, I think that's why there isn't one solution to fixing this whole shadow, because it has too many parts, and we're going to have to think of it in this much bigger web of ways of dealing with it. So I know that was kind of convoluted, but and I threw in a lot of different things there, but there's some bigger ideas that are coming into play here.
I think there's something for another topic.
I know, right? That's what I was thinking.
Divine feminine is a really interesting one, because in the last couple of years, yes. you'll even see the movie industry, the female superheroes, Wonder Woman, Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
You're seeing that in popular media all of a sudden. And then politicians, female politicians are becoming really popular.
So, like Captain Marvel's up there.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right. Okay. Oh, she's like hidden. You can't even see. But yes, I do have Captain Marvel up there. But, thank you very much.
Just everywhere, women are standing up into their own power. And it's kind of exciting. I'd like that to be a future topic.
I love that idea, divine feminine.
We've got a lot to say about that,
I think
too.
That's great.
Yeah. All right.
I love that. Well, all right. Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. And thank you for your comments. And also for those that are going to be listening to our podcast on the different platforms, thank you for tuning in as well. And it's always a pleasure, Jason and Carolyn. I'm so happy to have these conversations. This started over coffee talks that we had before this podcast, and it turned into this. And I'm kind of going to vote for that divine feminine, I think, for the next one. My hand is raised. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Thank you so much. Bye.